when we fast. Amen, amen. And this is apropos for what it is that we are striving to do this month. Pastor has called for 21 days of fasting. And what does that look like? We're just going to spend some time really just kind of talking about what does that look like? And what did that look like historically? Why is it that Jesus would take the time? Here it is. Actually, if I can just kind of lay the foundation for what it is that Jesus here is talking about. Jesus here is now at the Mount. And this is famously known as the Sermon on the Mount. This is just a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus goes from chapter 5, chapter 6, into chapter 7 on all the things that he talks about. But one of the things that he does talk about, and in relation to where it falls, he'll talk about in this chapter 6, he talks about your giving, he talks about your prayers, and we've kind of dabbled over that earlier, well, actually sometime last year, right? Not earlier this year. Something we talked about last year, about prayers that please the Father. Right? And so this just dovetails into prayers. And it just makes sense because fasting is simply not eating. It's the abstinence of food. If you look at the word fasting in the Old Testament, it means to cover one's mouth. If you look at it in the Greek, it just means don't eat, not eating. Amen. So there's no major significance to the word in and of itself, but what it is that fasting, it becomes a spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
It enhances our spiritual sensitivity.
Amen.
Fasting alone, if you don't pray and simply fast, you're merely dieting.
Yeah.
Now, you will lose some weight if you fast properly. Amen.
Amen.
And there are some benefits to it. But the idea is that fasting buttresses helps your prayers. Amen.
Amen.
And so the idea is we're not just fasting or abstaining from food for the simple sake of, for the simple sake of not eating, but we're not eating to afflict ourselves.
Right, right.
Which means that what is one of the most important things that your body needs to run?
Nourishment.
It needs nourishment. Now, some of us, we take in more nourishment than what we need.
Well, watch out.
Amen. Don't know how we're going to burn it off, but you know what? Burgers, fries, and hot dogs taste good.
Reserve.
Amen. You know what? Like, if you were running at the marathon and you needed some reserve, some of us already got it. Amen. But the idea behind your nourishment is so that your body might function and function well. But the thing that I've noticed about men in particular, not men, men, but what I noticed about humankind in particular, that if a thing is good, somehow we believe that more of it is better. If I got one, I need to have two. If I have two, I need to have four. You know, just in case something happened with the other two. Amen. You know, some of y'all will go to In-N-Out and have I don't know what animal style or whatever. And then, look, I heard people say, you'll have an animal style and then, you know, where you won't have the bread and all that, but you ask for like five patties in case you lose one. You know, but the thing is that nourishment should just be that. It should be just nourishment. But again, because of the way that we are, you know, we got some stinking thinking. Amen.
Yes, amen.
We got some stinking thinking. Yes. And again, we think that just because we have a little, it's not enough, that more is better. But that's not always the case.
Right.
Here in fasting, fasting has played a major role throughout the Old Testament and even now in the New Testament days. Y'all know y'all still living in New Testament days. We ain't had nothing to it. But we are living in New Testament times.
Right.
But in the Old Testament, they went about fasting and the Jews. And it's interesting, if you go back and you do some of the history, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about history. But if you go back and you look at the history, there's only one day that God tells the children of Israel that they must fast. And that's the Day of Atonement. And then the fast is only for one whole day. And that fast is from the even to even. In other words, when you started is the same time that you ended. That means that you didn't have any food, nor did you drink any water. Now, we're not doing that type of fast. Y'all ought to be thanking God.
Amen.
We're not doing that type of fast. In our fast, we've set up some things, but I'm not there yet. But we've set up some things to make sure that if you need to eat some food, we got making sure that you're eating the right food. Amen. And we're definitely stressing the fact that you need to drink water.
Yeah.
Amen. And matter of fact, we need to drink more water than we drink soda.
That's right.
We need to drink more water than we drink juice. Yeah. We need to drink water than we need to drink some of the other stuff, okay?
Wine.
Y'all will get it. Somebody next to you tell them. We'll talk about it later. But in the Old Testament days, as they began to walk with the Lord, fasting became a thing that they would do in times of distress. We find that when David's child was dying, you know, that child that he had with Bathsheba that he should not have had with Bathsheba, but he had this child with Bathsheba. And so when the Lord had pronounced judgment on that child, David then went into a period of fasting as that child began to die and would not be relieved and would not stop fasting until the child had died. Yeah. Now, fasting in those days looked like you would put on your worst clothes and you would take ashes and put them on your head. You would be mourning. And matter of fact, the idea behind most of the fast days that the Levites then set into motion after that one fast day, all those represented terrible incidents that happened in the history of Israel. They have as many as 20 some odd fast days that not necessarily commemorate, but identify terrible things that happened in the history of Israel. Now, some of those days are partial fast days, which means that they don't fast all 24 hours. Most fasts would run from sunrise to when you can see the first stars at night. We would have a problem with looking for the stars at night because we just got too many lights. So we just tell people when darkness comes, you can go, you know, eat some food. But there are different type of ways that you can set your fast as they did in the Old Testament. The idea is not so much that you go without food, but that you would pray and that your fasting would supplement your prayer. We see this even in the New Testament with Jesus. However, now when Jesus, now he's doing this teaching here, he would also bring out some of the things that you should not do.
Right.
Our first point is, don't be a hypocrite. Jesus here, he says, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be of a sad countenance. In other words, don't be looking around here looking all sad. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Because the reason why the people doing what they're doing at that time, they wanted people to see what it was that they were doing. Now notice, this is buttressed right next to the prayers that please God. And notice when those prayers that go up unto God, God was telling them, look, when you pray, go pray to me in secret.
Yeah.
It's good to have corporate prayer. Corporate prayer is wonderful. Matter of fact, that's the way that many of us learned how to pray. Amen. Yeah. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. All right, that's something that we learned, and we learned it by rote, but somebody had to say it so that we would learn it. And that's the reason why we do corporate prayer oftentimes. You ever notice how your prayer sounds something like what the deacons pray? Nobody in here, right? Because all your prayers are different. Amen. But if you look at your prayer life, and so I know I'm talking about prayer life, but you can't separate one for the other. Because the reason why you fast is so that God would notice how serious you are about what it is that you're asking him.
Yes.
God, I'm willing to afflict myself to such a degree that I really need you to move on my behalf. My fasting is not based on making God do anything. I can't make God do anything. God is sovereign. He sits high. He looks low. He's the master of the universe. He speaks things into being, and then he speaks things out of being. I just came by to let you know that when you fast, it ought to be hooked up with your prayers. Because otherwise, it don't do you no good to fast if you ain't asking God for something.
Amen.
Unless you're trying to diet, and we know how that works out. It's the same resolution you had last year. You still paying for going to, you know, the 24-hour fitness. People don't even know your name. Fasting makes us sensitive to the word.
Yeah.
But not only that, but when you fast, don't walk around, you know, with a sad face. You know, and then, you know, making it look like you just, oh, but you know, God is moving in my life, and he's going to do all, you know. I mean, you ever hang around with the people that are just so holy?
Yeah.
Don't be them. So they might appear unto men to fast. He says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. We ought to take Christ as our role model.
Yes.
Christ is our role model.
Yes, he is, our example.
Matter of fact, Christ, before he began his 3-year ministry, he goes on a 40-day fast. And his fast is for 40 days, no food, no water. Now, I'm not telling you to do a 40-day fast where you don't have no food and no water. You will not survive it. Your body needs water. Your body needs food. But you got to remember, Christ ain't us. He is God.
Amen.
And matter of fact, this is put in here so that we might also look at in the Old Testament when Moses is on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments. Yeah. He's up there 40 days. And 40 nights.
Twice.
And he's not receiving any nourishment. Mm. But you notice that when Jesus is in when he's sitting there on that, by the tabernacle. The Samaritan woman, she approaches him, and he's talking to her, and the disciples run off and say, well, Lord, what are you talking to this woman? And matter of fact, we went and got you some food. And he said, I'm full.
Yes.
I've gotten food that you know not of.
Amen.
This is, well, where did you get that? We went down, we didn't have none before. We come back with food and you talking about you full? I'm full because I'm doing the work of the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord is able, when we're in the presence of the Lord, he's able to sustain you.
Yes,
he's able to keep you.
Your home and diet.
Why? Because he's God.
Amen.
He knows what your body needs, and he knows when your body needs it.
That's right.
He knows. Matter of fact, he works for 6 days creating the heavens and the earth. Now, you don't think that God was tired, do you?
No.
He did that as an example for us.
Yeah.
Because he realized that we would try and go and we would try and work 7 days a week if we could. Amen. Because some of y'all like work that much, and some of y'all like money that much. Amen. But God knows that your body needs rest. And just like your body needs rest, sometimes it needs periods where it needs to be fasted upon.
Yes.
That it needs to be shut down.
Purged.
That your body needs to be purged sometimes. Sometimes you can't continue to eat the way you eat. That's the reason why we take the pills we take.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
You can't eat everything that you want to eat.
That's right.
And you need to eat some of the stuff you don't want to eat.
I know that's right.
Amen. We need to eat some broccoli. We need to eat some green leafy vegetables. We need to eat some fruits once in a while. Amen.
Amen.
We need to drink more water.
That's right. No doubt.
Amen. That's why I like going to the deacon room because they ain't got nothing in there but water. They might go back there and count the money, but all they got back there is water. Praise be unto God.
Amen.
Don't be a hypocrite. But then when you fast, don't be a hypocrite, but then also expect visible results. He says, but when you fast, anoint your head. and wash your face. In other words, in the Old Testament days, when you fasted, it was a period of mourning. You fasted because something terrible done happened, or you trying to get out of something terrible. King Jehoshaphat called a fast because the city of Jerusalem was getting ready to be overtaken by its enemies. He didn't know what to do. He counted his people, he counted their people, and it was like, this don't look good. We gonna have us a fast. Everybody, don't nobody eat nothing. Everybody, we're fasting. We're going to put on our worst clothes and put ashes on our head. And don't you know that God moved on their behalf? He saved the city because the whole city decided that they were going to move on this one situation. Look, we ain't no more different than what we're doing. All the city came together and decided this is what we needed to do to be saved. We must look towards God because we don't know where our help is coming from. We must look to the Lord. And so because we're looking to the Lord, we must go to Him in prayer and in fasting. And so they fasted and they prayed and they were saved. In the Old Testament, we find that the fast days weren't necessarily multiple days. But we also find that there were some multiple day fasts. There's the fast of Purim, which denotes, remember that story in the Old Testament with Mordecai and Esther? And Esther is like, okay, well, I got to go stand before the king. Now, if you read the story of Esther, you know that the queen that was the queen before Esther, well, she got in a little bit of trouble because she went before the king uncalled for. That's why Esther ended up being the new queen. So Esther says, look, I've got for us to be saved, us Jews who are in Persia who need to be saved because the king had already sent out a decree that said that on such and such a date at such and such a time, you find a Jew, you kill him. She said, well, wait a minute, I'm Jewish. Mordecai, Jewish. Are they going to come kill me? So Mordecai tells Esther, you need to go talk to the king. Esther says, look, before I talk to the king, I need to go before God. And so Esther says, okay, fast with me 3 whole days. And on the 3rd day, I will go before the king. Don't you know that God honored her prayer? God allowed her to go before the king. The king put his scepter out. She accepted the scepter, and then she was able to save her people. Why? Because she prayed, and then she supplemented her prayer with fasting. That's how they did it in the Old Testament. Now, here in the New Testament, Jesus gives us some other things that we got to do, or what we should do. He says that, number one, we shouldn't be walking around looking all sad and raggedy. He says, no more sackcloth, no more ashes on your head. He tells you what? Anoint your head. In other words, take a bath. Amen. Some folk don't take a bath and they ain't even fasting. Nobody in here, because all y'all look and smell.
Amen.
But he tells you, anoint your head. You know, put on some, you know what? That's what I love about black folk, because y'all know how to look good. Amen. And smell good. Amen. Y'all may not know nothing about prayer, but you look good. Nobody in here, because y'all know how to pray.
Amen.
But he says, anoint your head and wash your face. In the Old Testament, again, they put the sackcloth on. They put the ashes on their head. They would stay in this state until the duration of their fast. And again, the fast could be a day, could be 3 days. In Daniel's case, it ran 21 days. But during that time, they would not wash. Jesus said, take your bath. Anoint your head. Wash your face. Don't act like you're fasting. Why? Because who is your fast unto? Your fast is unto God. God, you don't need to let other folk know what you're doing. Now, our fast is a corporate fast. We're doing it so that when you decide to do it, you can say, you know what? The way that we did it over at New Beginnings, or I should say the way we do it over at New Beginnings, I don't want to hear about how nobody else is doing it. The way we're doing it over here at New Beginnings is thus and so. Amen. Now, you can pick up some books and you can do it some other ways. And matter of fact, even during the time that we're praying here, I'm going to show you some different ways to even put together your prayer time. When we pray, do we conduct devotion? Certainly. And matter of fact, where do you learn how to do a lot of the devotion that you do?
Church.
Right here in church. Matter of fact, that's the wonderful thing about being Baptist. Amen? Amen. We know how to do devotion because we get it every Sunday morning. Amen?
Amen.
We got a little bit longer today, but that's all right. I love you. You sing a song. You read a scripture. You pray a prayer. Guess what? And if you do it right, you can. There was a preacher friend I know. Well, he's not really my friend. He's actually senior to me. And he was saying one time, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the man talk. Because you know what? I ain't got enough sense to do anything but other than sit and listen. Because, you know, he's just that much senior than me. So he begins to say, the reason why most people won't pray is because they don't see any profit in it. And so, as he began to explain that, I began to understand that oftentimes when we pray, we don't memorialize what it is that we're praying about. So when what you pray about happens, when your prayer comes to fruition, when God moves on your behalf, you have forgotten what it was that you prayed about.
Yeah.
Amen. Because many of your prayers are not answered within a week,
yeah,
a month. And some of them may not be answered for years.
Yeah.
How many individuals do you know that you have been praying for year in and year out, and they don't, and you're praying for their salvation, and then one fine morning, they'll make their way into a church, they'll believe in their heart, they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and they become saved, and then you say, praise be unto God, and you forget that you have been praying for this man or this woman's salvation from day one. How many of us have had small children in our homes? We've raised them from knee high to a grasshopper, and now here they are, grown folk, and they finally one day believed in their heart, confessed with their mouth. How many years have you been praying prior to their profession of their faith? How many years? You don't know because you never wrote it down. God answered the prayer, and you don't know why that prayer been answered. How long have you been working on that? How long have you been watering that seed? How long ago did you plant that seed? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, if you come, make your way to Bible study on Wednesday. We have an outline that we had last time we were together that we have this time.
Amen.
And so I'm going to actually show you how to journal. In other words, I'm going to show you a method of journaling that will basically allow you to write down what it is that you're praying about, the day and the time that you prayed about it, and then as you keep your journal, maybe from year one, year two, year three, you'll be able to see how God answered your prayers as you began to pray. We don't think about that, but then you know what? There are a lot of things we don't think about. You ever think about the way that you pray? I know I'm spending a lot of time on prayer, but like I said, fasting is a supplement to your prayer life. You ever think about when you pray about the same old things, the same old way, probably in the same old order. Amen. I ain't got no beef with that because maybe you need to pray about those same old things, those same old ways in that same old order because you haven't thought about a different way to pray. Amen. That's the reason God has given us the Psalms. Don't you know that you can take the Psalms and pray the Psalms? That as you go, the 23rd number of the Psalms goes what? But the Lord is my shepherd. And you can stop right there. And then you begin to think about, how has he led me like a shepherd?
Yes.
Lord, I remember the time when I was lost and I didn't know where to go. But you allowed my feet to find a new beginning. Christian Fellowship Church, and there I found someone who took me by the hand, led me to you. Lord, I thank you. You have led me to this job. I wasn't qualified for it. You had me go in, put in an application, talk to a little old lady who didn't know me from Adam, and yet and still you gave me this job.
Amen.
Lord, you've led me to go places that I never thought I would go. Do things that I never thought I would do. Now look, I have already spent more than 3 minutes talking to you about how the Lord has led me. And I haven't even gotten to the second part of the first sentence. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then you can start talking about how fat and jolly you are. Because you have not been in want. Lord, when I'm hungry, I got food in my refrigerator. Lord, when I'm hungry, I can go to my neighbor. Lord, when I'm hungry, I can find me a Baptist because I know it. They may not give me no money, but they'll give me some food. When you fast, expect visible results.
Yes.
That you don't appear unto men to fast, but when you fast, fast unto God in secret. Everybody ain't got to know why you're in prayer, why you are fasting, why you are not partaking food, why you are doing devotions twice a day. Why is it that your prayer life has increased? I'm doing these things because I want something more than I want food. I need God to move on my behalf more than I want nourishment. I'm giving up the thing that is most important to my body so that I might have God move on my behalf. And at the end of the day, that's all that we're looking for. We're looking for visible results. Just like my friend said, men don't oftentimes see what it is that they're praying for. My suggestion to you is memorialize what it is that you're praying about and see if God will not answer your prayer. Our problem is that we claim we don't have a praise report. What it is that we got a short memory. Because there were times when you should have been dead. When the doctor gave up on you, when the doctor said, I can't do nothing else for you, go ahead and go home. Matter of fact, you taking up space in this bed that we can give to somebody else because I can't do nothing else for you. Go home, put together whatever you need to put together that you're going to leave for those who are going to be here after you. I'm giving up on you. Go home. Matter of fact, here's the number to palliative care. Y'all know what palliative care is? All right, you'll work it out. Here's the number to hospice care. Because there's nothing else I can do. But you know what? I serve a God who's able to heal you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. What they thought that they saw in your body is no longer there. But the fatigue that you had, all of a sudden, you up and ready to go. You doing work. You like, you know what? I'm tired of being retired. Let me go find a job. You know, I'm not like any of y'all retired folk gonna do any of that. But God is able to put steps on your feet. You ever see people running in church and ain't nothing chasing them? Why? Because God is good. God is able. He moves when men can't move. He closes doors that no man can open and opens doors that no man can close. I serve that kind of God. I serve a God that has all power in his hand. I serve a God who's able to look out into nothing, step out into nothing, and speak into nothing. Worlds without end. My God is powerful. Why is it then that I won't spend the time even in prayer just to call upon his name and so that he might see my seriousness, how serious I am about what I need for him to move on my life, that I'll just push away some food. Amen. Visible results. But then when you fast, don't be a hypocrite. Expect visible results. But then ultimately, in order to accomplish what it is that we're striving for, we must develop a culture of excellence. I'm setting three goals for this year. For these three goals, what we're asking is that you give us 100% effort in whatever it is that you have decided to do. You're going to be an usher, usher 100%. If you're going to be a musician, if you're going to be a choir member, if you're going to be anything else that we have available for you to do, do it to the best of your ability. Amen.
Amen.
You wouldn't go to the store and say, hey, I need some clothing. And, you know, they say, well, okay, here you go. You said, well, wait a minute, this got tears and holes in it. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the style. But you wouldn't buy something that's soiled. Yeah, like the older people are laughing, the younger people are like, what are you talking about? But you wouldn't go to the store, buy brand new clothes, and they'd be soiled.
Oh, they stink.
You wouldn't go to the grocery store and get spoiled food.
No.
So why then would you come here and then give God your second best?
Amen.
God asks very little of us for all that he provides.
My Lord.
I don't know anybody here who can make air. I don't know anybody here who can make their own. I don't know anybody here, although you have some strength, but as we get older, we lose strength. You can't create your own strength. You can't I'm only live so long. That ain't your call. You can't say how many gray hairs you have no matter how often you die. Amen. There's very little that we do in and of ourselves. We'll look at the commercials and, you know, it's like, you know, you can be 100% better if you go buy these pills and do whatever. But at the end of the day, pills don't make you better. Shots don't make you better. The doctor don't make you better. Healing only comes from one place. And it only comes from God.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I realize that this sermon has been a little bit different from the others that I've given before, but I really wanted to bring home with you, it's probably more teachy than preachy, but I really want to bring home the fact that we are serious in regards to our fast. Because it is this fast that's really going to break the bonds, that is going to really allow us to do and go the places where we want to go. Now, this has been here even before I've been here. But you know what? It is the commission of the church. Winning the lost at any cost. Jesus tells us to go out into all the world and make disciples of all men. This is not a come ye. This is a go ye.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen.
People just not going to show up because for whatever reason. Now, some people may make their way here. They might say, hey, you know, it's a nice looking church. You know, and I hopefully there's some nice people on the inside. Now, you might get one or two people that will come that way. But people only come places where their friends invite them. Y'all need to make some sinner friends.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. You already got some sinner friends.
Yeah.
Amen. Invite them to church.
Amen.
Some of y'all live in apartment buildings. Some of y'all go to work. Some of y'all go to school. Amen. You got sinner friends at work. You got sinner friends at school. Amen. Invite them to your church.
Amen.
Say, hey, let me tell you about New Beginnings. Let me tell you about NBC. Y'all can say NBC. I like NBC. Let me tell you about NBC. And I'm not talking about the network. I'm talking about New Beginnings. And it's a place where the people will love on you.
Yeah.
The people do things with excellence.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if you ask them where the restroom is, they'll take you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. We want to be about loving folk. Yes. We want to be about inviting folk. The only way we're going to make that 100 number, and matter of fact, I just set it as a goal. There ain't no problem with having 200 or 300 million. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We got extra chairs. We have an overflow room. I'd like to really use it. Amen.
Amen. Two services.
Okay, make the pastor work. Two services, three services, isn't it? Look, at the end of the day, we have been called to a work.
Yes,
sir. Our fasting and our prayers are to help us in that work.
Amen.
Now, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins. But all that simply means is that if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to do that. You need to believe in your heart. You need to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you shall be saved. But then maybe you're already saved. Maybe you already know what it means to be in the ark of safety. which just simply means is that you believed already, but you don't have a church home. Can we invite you to be a member here? Whomsoever will. Matter of fact, let's all stand.